Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I'm your host, Allie Ann, and today we are going to talk about the most dangerous characteristic a human can possess. I've mentioned this a couple times this month in the last episodes, and if you remember what it was, then just try to relax and make it through the episode. I'm hoping that it's encouraging and will be able to help you, but it has completely changed my life. I've been on both sides, being consumed with it and also being able to give it to God and see Him work through me in it. So, without further ado, let's get right into the episode. So, the most dangerous characteristic a human can possess. I struggled back and forth with two different sin problems that I really was conflicted on which one was worse and which one was more dangerous. But as I sat down to write the notes, I realized that there is nothing that compares to the one I'm going to be talking about today. So before I tell you what it is, there is huge consequences that come when this particular sin rears its ugly head. When I was in school, they had a question that said, which character quality do you think is foundational to all of life? And they had a ton. I'm going to say there was 49 characteristics or character qualities. And one of them just, it always came to my mind and I always thought of it. And so I chose self-control because the definition that they had was something like immediate obedience to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. And in my mind, I was thinking, if I can hear from God and do what He says, that is foundational to all of life because He has all the answers. So I don't need to know anything else. I can just ask Him. I remember one time it was kind of weird because I had never experienced it before, but my horse had this thing that started growing on the inside of one of his legs and it kind of freaked me out. I was like, what is this? And I remember pulling weeds out in the garden one time and I was like, God, what is that? And I heard the word tumor and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And so I just kind of brushed it aside thinking it wasn't really even a word. And I don't remember how many weeks or whatever it was, but I had the farrier do his hooves and he's like, you know, your horse has a tumor. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, this thing like that's growing on his leg. And I'm like, oh, is that what it is? And so ever since then, I'm like, of course, all we need to be able to do is to hear from God. He can give us the answers, whether we hear it or understand it or not. And so as I was writing down what the most dangerous characteristic of a human is, the self-control story really popped out at me because this characteristic it's like the total opposite of self-control, of listening to God's Spirit and listening to His promptings and obeying. And so I lost my train of thought again. So this characteristic is pride, or our ego. So this is huge for runners. We're always trying to talk about our PRs and what we did and how our races went and the race that's coming up and our training and all of our problems. And it seems like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it seems like one of the things we're most proud about is any of our bathroom problems, which is very strange to me, but it's a very common problem among runners, so I can understand that. But we seem to be very prideful about it. And just pride is a very, very common among runners. And I understand that there can be a healthy dose of pride. And A lot of times people will think you're being prideful when really you're just super excited about something that happened and you're not thinking about it in the way that they're thinking you are at all. So pride is when we are focused on ourselves. Either internally or externally, you're just constantly dwelling on self-pity or constantly dwelling on your self-success. And this sin is so bad because it totally destroys our life and the lives of those around us. It comes between God and us, and our life just starts revolving around us. And it really does things to our lives that completely, well, here, I'll just share some of the things I came up with. So pride gets in the way and discourages any common sense or healthy confidence. So a lot of times we will also use pride to mask how bad we feel about ourselves. So like if we're lacking self-confidence, which you can have a healthy dose of, as long as it's foundational on Christ, as long as you're realizing that you, who you are in Christ, that kind of, that is a healthy confidence. I don't remember what I was saying that for, but anyway, pride gets in the way and discourages any common sense. It's not just our confidence. So a lot of times when we are dealing with an injury, our pride gets in the way and is like, I have this training that I need to finish and I need to get this many miles in this week, and I need to keep up my weekly mileage and all of my runs. I have to get every single one of these kind of workouts in my week, and I can't take the time off to deal with this injury. And if we were to really sit down in that moment that we were giving all these excuses of why we can't deal with something before it gets worse, that really makes no sense. It's like, why am I thinking this when I'm going to have to deal with the injury later on if I don't take care of it now? And then pride also makes us do things that we regret later, or may regret. Not necessarily every time, but we may regret the decisions we make and the things we do because we're not making good choices. And then pride also discourages others, which I know you're not responsible for how other people see themselves and how people deal with their healthy confidence and their view of Christ. But by going around telling everybody what you did, it discourages them thinking that they can't do it. And the way that, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. But also, pride elevates yourself and doesn't show others who you really are. So a lot of times we'll be going around. I used to have a couple friends that, to me, they just seemed perfect. There was nothing wrong with them. They had life all together and they didn't have any issues. And later on, as I watched their lives, I was like, yeah, they do have a little bit of issues. And then over time, I was like, you know, it's kind of, they're human. They probably have a lot more issues than I'm thinking they do. And when we elevate ourselves above others, or just elevate ourselves just in general, then people aren't really seeing who we are because we're missing out on telling them about what God did in our lives and the struggle that we're going through and how God's helping them and how they need help. I've actually noticed that people can relate to you more and they are more encouraging, and it actually uplifts them if they are able to be able to help you with something. So pride causes injuries, obviously, because we don't make any sense in our decisions and we just brush aside the inevitable and different things. Pride causes us to miss God's blessings. So pride causes God to not reject us, but he allows our pride to lower us. And I used to think that God was the one who, I can't think of what it is, what the verse says, but God, I used to think that God was the one who lowered us, but I actually think that naturally, the way God created us is our pride will just naturally destroy us. And if the pride does come between you and God, then yes, God's going to punish you because he loves you and he knows there's better ways to live and there's a better way for you to live. But if we are humble, God does bless us more than we care to admit that when we're in the pride, because we think that the pride and elevating ourselves is our gift and our blessing. So pride causes us to miss out on a close relationship with Christ. When I am focused on Christ the most is when I feel the closest to him. When I tell him all of my problems and ask him to help me, that's when I feel the closest to him. And I've noticed in Psalms, David did this a lot, and God referred to him as a man after his own heart. David was constantly going to God, telling him his heart and pouring out his soul before him, and God would always bless him or come back with encouragement. As you can tell, that's what David was talking about. But it also, pride makes us the king and makes us the ruler over everything, so it takes Christ off the throne of our hearts. So pride ruins our testimonies and doesn't give God a chance to do miraculous things through us. So a lot of people nowadays are trying to do things in our own power. We're trying to do things for God. How many times in scripture during the miraculous events did you see the people doing it? Or was it God doing it through them? That was really a good eye-opener to me when God showed me that, is when I try to do things on my own, it was like, oh, this would be such a good testimony to be able to share with others and encourage them. It never works out. Just like if we're going into a race, like with our hearts set on, I'm going to get this PR, or I'm going to accomplish this just right. Most of the time, it's not as lovely at the end that we made it out to seem in the beginning. Whereas if we go into a race with the right heart and the right mindset and the right expectations, the outcome is actually a lot better. And it's the same with the Christian life. If we really want God to be able to do miraculous things, we have to allow him to do it through us, because we can't do it. We can't heal somebody. God has to do that. And we can't pray for things that we need in our lives. We can pray for it, but we can't obtain them if we don't have the necessary resources. But God can do that. And so the less you have and the more you allow God to work through you, the more miraculous testimonies you're going to get. And pride blocks us from hearing God, which then allows other sins to take root, because we're not, our clear conscience, we won't have a clear conscience anymore. And the more we block from hearing from the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to just keep going deeper and deeper into sin. And then pride also blocks us from receiving the love of God. So something God's been really telling me to do recently is allow him to love me. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So it was like God in that verse was saying, I gave you my son, why don't you think I can't give you anything else, or I won't give you anything else? He left us here on this earth not to just suffer through it and get to heaven. He left us here on this earth to have a testimony and to be able to allow him to use us to be used in other people's lives. And the only way we can do that is if we allow God to fill us, so then it overflows into other people's lives. And so with that, I don't remember what all I said. My notes, I totally went out of order in my notes. So if you want to go to the blog post version of this and see if I missed anything, then you can look at it. So I guess I'll just go into what can we do about this ugly characteristic anyway. So first thing is to pray, and pray some more. We can't, again, do anything without Christ. But Philippians 4:19 says that we can do all things through Christ. And you can't leave out the word through, because it's Christ in us that does the work. It has nothing to do with us, because John 15 says that we can't do anything apart from Christ. So if you just pour out your heart before God, just everything, and I'm not saying hide some of the things. There's something I've been trying to work on for years in my life, and just a couple weeks ago, I don't remember if God asked me to give me this area of my life or to do what, I don't remember what exactly it was, but I said, God, if you want the bad in my life, you can have it. And he was like, thank you, now I can work on it. And I'm like, I thought I already gave that to you. So just don't withhold anything from him. Just give him everything and allow him to do the work. It's so much easier that way anyway. And then ask God to remove that sin from your life if that didn't come up during your prayer time. And then start looking at who is really responsible for everything you are able to do. So for me in my running, if it wasn't for my family being the encouragement and just being there for me, then I would not be able to do this. I would not be able to go to these races, because a lot of times they'll bring stuff to me after the race, and they'll, as I'm recovering, they'll help or just whatever. It's, I wouldn't be able to do this stuff without them. And I especially, after some races, I can't walk. I wouldn't really necessarily want to drive home by myself. So if you can start looking at who's really responsible for your life, I've noticed in the ultra running community, which is very intriguing to me. I'm not sure I'll ever run anything past a 50K, which is the way I think 31 miles. But I just love watching the community and love hearing and learning about that, because they literally, oh, not always, but all the people that I watch or listen to, they always go back to their crew. They give their crew so much praise because they do so much. The crew will literally have the food ready for the people at the pit stops. They'll put ice on them. They'll rub their feet. They'll help them change their clothes. Just whatever it is, it's, they are sitting there relaxing while these people, well, not relaxing, but they're taking a break while these people are doing the stuff for them. So, and instead of these people having to come to the aid station during these, it's mainly the 100 miles that are just very intrigue me. But during these 100 miles, they'll be, instead of having to do it all themselves, they're able to rest for a little while the other people do it for them. And I have heard so many people say if it wasn't for their crew, they wouldn't be able to do what they're doing. So just realize that in your own life. I know you're probably not running 100 miles, because if you're like me, that just seems a little daunting. But anyway, and then also start like thanking God for the ability to do what you do. Because if you think about it, God's the one who created you and created you with your abilities and with your talents. For me, this has been really hard, because I feel like God has called me to running, but I am super slow. And I'm not saying like 10 minutes a mile. I'm saying like 12, sometimes 15, depending on the terrain or depending on how I'm feeling or depending on the weather. I am a very slow runner, and I mean, I can run faster, but most of my runs, because they're supposed to be easy, are pretty slow. And so if you can just thank God that you're able to do this, because I know a lot of people who are not able to run, and it just kind of makes me feel blessed to just be able to do something that I enjoy. And then also then going back to finding out who's really responsible, make sure you thank them. Thank them for everything that they do for you and everything that they help you with. And obey God in the crazy things and watch Him do things through you that otherwise wouldn't have been possible. This, I have noticed, is a huge, huge way for me to eliminate pride in my life. The more I give God room to work in the impossible in my life, the things that I really can't do, the more He is able to, and then it just blows my mind and it wants me, or it encourages me to allow God to work in my life and do things that I can't do, which then keeps you from pride, knowing that you're not the one doing it. It's really God in you. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Hopefully it was encouraging and not so much downing and discouraging. Hopefully it gives you some ideas of some things you can do so that you can overcome this. And I honestly think that as humans, we will always be struggling with this and always have it on our mind and on our heart, just something that we have to work on. But I have noticed that last one I shared with you, obeying God in the crazy things and watching Him do stuff through you, has been one of the biggest things for me that keeps me from pride. Because I honestly, I've told God before, I can't even get out of bed without you because the covers are so warm. And you know, when you're waking up in the morning, you're like, I'm so tired. And I'll just be laying there like, can you help me get up? And sometimes it's almost like He smiles and he's like, just get up. I'm like, I don't want to. So yeah, just being able to realize that nothing good in you as a Christian is because of you. It's because of God and because of His Holy Spirit working in you, because we are naturally sinful creatures. So I will leave you guys with that. And I am so sad that this is the last one on injuries for November. Next month, I am really hoping to talk about time. And because that is another frustration of a runner. So the three frustrations of a runner was motivation, lack of time, and injuries. And so God has taught me so much about time over these last few months. Well, my whole life, really, but just these last few months, thinking back and allowing God to show me things that He has showed me in the past, and then just being able to apply it now in preparation, because I don't want to tell you something that I'm not doing myself, or and if I am not doing it myself, at least be able to tell you that I am working on it and it's in working progress. But just being able to share things with you that is working in my own life. I hate it when people tell stories about how so-and-so told them to do something and then that I know the person better and they don't do it themselves, and I'm like, please just stop. So I am kind of sad we're ending on the injuries, but also excited to be talking about time, especially as the holidays of Christmas. I don't know what you guys all do, but we have like widow's banquet, caroling, and then my sister is also getting married in January, so we're going to be having some of that to work on, and then just a bunch of stuff. December is going to be a full year for us, or a full month for us. So I am excited to be getting into December. Just please, you can start listening to Christmas music now if you want to. It bothers me when people start listening to Christmas music so early because they're wishing that Christmas would be here. I'm like, just slow down and enjoy the time you're in. But that's probably just because God's been working on that with me. So I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I will see you in December. It's just November's now, December. I'll see you in December.